And depending on how much wind blew. Yeah. Well, this evening I'd like to, if I could, be brief and be practical. Turn with me to Daniel. Why in the world would he teach on Daniel? Because that's where I'm reading in my Bible reading through the years. So I'm in the book of Daniel. And of course, every time you read the book of Daniel, it's like you feel like you're in Star Wars in some chapters. I'm not going to name any more movies, but there's so much going on that you scratch your head thinking, I can't understand all this. Daniel chapter number 10. And one thing you have to be careful of, really, if you have a Bible that has writing in it other than the Word of God, sometimes that doesn't necessarily help you. If you have a study Bible that tells you what a verse says, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what the verse means. Okay. That means what the writer of that particular commentary believes it to mean. So that's important to know. Daniel chapter 10, I'm going to read 12 verses and pray. I'm going to talk about practical principles of prayer. Practical principles of prayer. Daniel 10, starting in verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar, depending upon where you put the accent on the syllable, will determine how you say that. And the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. And his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quakening fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone. And saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we think that praying is silly. Maybe even sometimes we think it's a waste of time. And surely it's true, because we're human beings. We look at life and we try to understand life the best we can. But when we remove the faith factor, when we walk by sight and not by faith, there's so much we miss. There's so much happening that we're unaware of. And this passage of Scripture, maybe like a few others in the Bible, but this clearly reveals to us the power of prayer and how persuasive prayer can be if we're in the right place and if we're prepared to pray. So on this Wednesday night, I ask that you might minister to us through this passage of Scripture and others that we'll look at. We pray for those that can't be with us. We're grateful for those that can, for our church family and guests and visitors. We ask that the Word of God and the Spirit of God would minister to our soul and our spirit this evening in a special way, in a personal way. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we introduce this passage of Scripture, we're looking at a very amazing chapter. But let me, if I could, give you the context, because if you don't have the context, you're going to miss really what's happening here. So let's go to two places, 2 Chronicles 36. Where is 2 Chronicles? After 1 Chronicles. No, but if you're going left, 2 Chronicles is before Job, before Nehemiah, before Ezra. There's 2 Chronicles right there. 2 Chronicles 36 would be the last chapter in what we might call the history book. Now, we'd understand that Esther, Ezra, and Nehemiah are history as well. But this is really the end of the history of the nation of Israel before they go into captivity. 2 Chronicles 36, we'll read the last two verses. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, what year? The first year of which king? Cyrus. Okay, this will be, I think, just doing my math, the third or fourth king that Daniel is going to be under their authority. We had Nebuchadnezzar, right? We had who? Darius. Who is the number two king? Belshazzar. Then Darius. Now Cyrus. So this is the fourth king. And according to this, it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now I want you to stop there just for a minute. Now I know the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Now every once in a while, you don't have to ask. You can ask God to relay your message. So here's the king of the world, Cyrus, king of Persia, who went to him and said, hey, king, would you allow the Jews to go back and build the temple in Jerusalem? Think about how well that would have gone over. Probably not well. The Spirit of the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, not only did he say it, he wrote it. So we have a permanent copy. We have an executive order that says this is what's going to happen. Verse 23. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. How did that happen? I don't know. But God knows. Right? I've been praying for a house for 12 years. ever since I've been here. 14 years? How long have I been here? 14 years. Anybody can buy a house, but I'm asking God to give me one. Lord, would you give us a house? Why? Because we can't afford one. So it's real easy to pray when you can't afford something. Say, Lord, I need a car. I need a house. I need a wife. I need a career. Whatever it happens to be, God knows. And this passage of scripture proves that you don't even have to ask anybody else for it. That God can stir their spirit, even a lost person, even the king of the world. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. So not only does Cyrus have a vision and a burden from the Lord, he also is going to make this public. He's going to document it and turn the next page. Ezra chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, what year? First year. That the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. This sounds familiar. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And then he continues through the passage to encourage those that are in Babylon to go. Verse 7. Also, Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Shesbazar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them, 30 charges of gold and 1,000 charges of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Shesbazar bring up with him of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those which had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away into Babylon, and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, every one unto his city. Now turn with me back to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 says, In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. So what changed? There's a two-year difference. Now, as you begin reading Daniel chapter 10, it does not say in the margin, oh, by the way, the temple's being rebuilt back in Jerusalem. Does it say that in your Bible? Study to show thyself approved. My Bible doesn't have it doesn't have a highlight. It says, oh, go back here. It doesn't say that. So you have to study. You have to say, okay, there's a discrepancy here. It says the first year. Oh, wait a minute. I remember somewhere it says the first year. This says the third year. So what has been going on for 2 years? Something's been going on in Jerusalem, and something's been going on with Daniel. Right? Now, you'd have to read Daniel chapter 1 through 9 to find out what's going on with Daniel. If you remember, he was kidnapped as a teenager, taken captive. They say now about this point in his life, he's well in his 80s. That's why he didn't go back with those other captives to go to Jerusalem. He decided to hang out in Babylon and do what he could there because, quite frankly, he was we would call the religious, spiritual leader of Babylon. We can't say that, could we? Because Babylon was complete paganism. But Daniel decided to stay there instead of go back home. So Cyrus made the decree during his first year of being a king. In the third year of Cyrus, we have this story. Okay. So let's take a moment and pause and talk about spiritual warfare. The nation of Israel was taken captive. God's people were going to pay a price. God was going to chastise his people. God was going to punish his people, which he did. He took them into exile, took them captive. The northern tribes scattered in Assyria. The southern tribes, Babylon. So they went there. And if God knew exactly where his people were and what was taking place in Babylon, don't you think the devil knew what was going on with God's people? Don't you think the devil knew about Jeremiah's prophecy that the people of Israel would be in captivity for 70 years and then a remnant would return? Guess what happened? Just like the prophet said. Whoa! Just like the prophet said. So the spiritual minions are now going out of their mind. They're going out of their mind. Of course, they thought they could keep Jesus in the tomb. That didn't happen. And for some odd reason, they thought that Israel would remain, especially after these crazy things that Jeremiah preached to them. Buy a house, marry a wife, have children, plant a vineyard. Looks like they're going to stay. And now they're going back. The alarms are going berserk in hell. Spiritual beings all over the universe are going, what's happened? What's happened? So they're retooling. Something serious is happening. Daniel's in Babylon, who knows how to pray, right? And the remnant, around 49,000, walk back to Babylon to rebuild the temple. Now, we don't have time to talk about all the cool stuff about that. But please understand, this is not, we're going to go in the car or the carriage and we're going to have a picnic out in the countryside. That's not what's happening here. This is serious stuff. So Daniel, it doesn't say he's been praying for 2 years. But if you remember correctly, there's one guy in the Bible who went to the lion's den because he publicly prayed against the civil authorities that said, you can't do this. The coercion was, if you pray, you will be eaten alive. Daniel said, fool you on that. Daniel prayed. Daniel, you're going to the lion's den. All right. So, we have coercion. We have financial manipulation. We have legislative tyranny. All kind of things taking place in our nation, which of course is not new. It's been around for a long, long time. Oh, they're picking on me. So Daniel knows how to pray. He knows how serious this is. So for the Bible to say, the first year Cyrus says this, the remnant goes home. And the third year, what's happened during those 2 years? I guarantee you what happened during those 2 years. The whole context of what we're going to read about happened during those last 2 years. So for whatever reason, I'm not exactly sure, why is this now being documented? I'll tell you. Let's read on. This is good stuff. So we're going to look at a few principles on how to practically pray. Chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. If you are a Christian and you have any clue about the vision of God, the purpose of God, any biblical understanding, mark it down. Spiritual warfare is right around the block. It could be over the next horizon. Spiritual warfare is part of what we do. Yes? Yes. We might not be suffering to that level. But if you're not suffering today, it could be tomorrow. That's just for the joy that was set before him. Endure the cross. What's the next phrase? Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So for them that walk, you know, if we claim Christ, we're going to suffer like him. So here's Daniel. And the time was appointed, but the time was long. Well, if you factor in Jeremiah's prophecy, that's 70 years. The prophecy came true. Daniel, in his lifetime, watch the prophecy be fulfilled. Woohoo! 2 years later, there's some things going on that Daniel's praying for. Now, Daniel is where he is. So he can't see. He doesn't have Twitter to find out what's going on in Jerusalem. So he's praying. He's praying for them. He's clearing the path prayerfully for what God had in store for the nation. Principle number two, verse 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. How many days is that? 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread. So you go by all that special bread at Wegmans. Forget that. No pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all. Now, I don't know if that means he didn't shower, if he didn't use deodorant. I don't know what that means. But he didn't anoint himself at all till 3, what's that next word? Whole weeks were fulfilled. How many days does that mean? 21. Whole weeks. Not 20, not 14. 3 whole weeks. Daniel had been personally promoted to be the key administrator over the entire area of Babylon. Many exiles had returned safely to Jerusalem. Yet, Daniel was preparing for spiritual battle. How did he do that? He fasted 3 weeks. He also exercised what we might call some spiritual discipline. Fasting is spiritual discipline. He also tried to worship God without distraction. Now think about that for a moment. What's it like to pray without distraction? Now, I'm not going to talk about my wife, but I am because she's here. Every once in a while, I'm in my man cave, my basement, at my beautiful studio desk, praying, preparing for the day. And I'll be praying. I hear Christmas carols. Not on the radio, not on the tape player, on the Yamaha. And it's like, she's right up above me. She's right up above me. How can you ignore? Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? How do you ignore that when you're praying? You can't. So Daniel, at least here, he's trying to, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to be funny. But serious prayer sometimes takes serious accommodation. Sometimes I come here to pray, to get alone. I won't be interrupted. Sometimes you might have to leave your home. You might have to get in your car, go in a parking lot, shut off your phone. You have to sometimes get away. And that's just in our... So Daniel's fasting 21 days. That's 1 week short of, you know, the record. Moses and Jesus and others, 40 days. No, it's a little bit more than. So he's preparing himself. He's preparing himself for the spiritual warfare that's going to take place. Verse number 4-6. And in the 24th day of the first month, which means it wasn't the 23rd day. So as you're praying, Jennifer, and you're asking God to answer, and you say, Lord, look, I've been faithful in this prayer. Maybe God's waiting for the 21st day. What if you gave up on the 20th day? This wouldn't be written about you. Faithful, faithful, faithful. I'm getting tired. We're involved with spiritual warfare. But again, if you knew the rest of the story, you'd understand why it took God 21 days to answer. We'll get to that in a minute. Maybe we won't get to that. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. Basically, what we have here is we have a person, a mysterious person, that was clothed in representative garments, excuse me, that represent a prophet, a priest, and a king. So this particular individual looks like, sounds like the guy in Revelation chapter 1 that John the Apostle saw. We don't have time to go to the book of Revelation chapter 1, but it's almost the same exact description. The reason why the descriptions are different is because this is Jesus before the cross. Revelation chapter 1 is Jesus after the cross. He said, no. No, seriously. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Messiah. Verse 6, his body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. Okay, who in the Bible is like that? Only Jesus. And his eyes as lamps of fire. And his arms and his feet like the color to polished brass. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Okay, so third point. When the time is accomplished, Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Don't you think Daniel might have felt alone? Like, oh man, I'm missing this. The great Exodus. This is the second Exodus. They left Egypt once. Now they're leaving Babylon. So this is the second Exodus. And Daniel didn't have a chance to go. He stayed back. But he stayed faithful. And because he did, look at what he saw. What did he experience? Now, you could look at this and you could read Isaiah chapter 6. It's a similar experience where Isaiah had seen the Messiah in heaven. Here, Daniel gets a chance to see the Messiah where he was. Look with me at verse number 7. Fourth principle. And I, Daniel, alone, wait a minute, saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision. Now, wait a minute. That means he wasn't alone. He was surrounded by people. But like you in church tonight are surrounded by people. Or on Sunday, or at work, or tailgating. Wherever you happen to be, you might be surrounded by people. But you might not be prepared. Or they might not be prepared. Maybe they haven't fasted. Maybe they haven't prayed for 21 days straight. Maybe they haven't lived the life that Daniel lived to understand Jeremiah's prophecy came true. The 70-year captivity is over. God's people are back in the land. I must pray. I must pray like I never prayed before because God is in this. So Daniel had fasted and prayed, and who shows up? Jesus showed up. God showed up. The Messiah appeared. How did he appear? Like a babe in a manger? No. Like the Revelation 1 God. That's how he appeared. Verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. They were afraid, rightly so. They were trembling, and they fled. Now, I could understand if you're in a 6.5 meg earthquake to flee. 7.2, those things are pretty, pretty dangerous. But here, they were quaking. The ground wasn't shaking. They were, and they fled. They could have been a part of that prayer meeting, that appearance meeting, but they weren't. They chose to leave. Verse 8, therefore, I was left alone. That happens sometimes on Wednesday nights. You come here to pray, and what happens when it's time to pray? You leave. I'm not saying you don't pray at home. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you what I see. Now, I love you. I'm your pastor, right? Right. So Wednesday night when we come to pray, you come to listen, and then you leave. It says here, he was left alone. And what did he see? He saw the great vision. What about those who didn't stay? They didn't see it. Does that apply to me? Does that apply to you? Yes. Yes, it does. It does. And there remained no strength in me. Now, he could have been weak because he had fasted for 3 weeks. True. But this was a spiritual experience that is recorded for us so that we can learn. No strength remained in me, for my comeliness, my humanness, my personality, my persona, my temperament was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. In the midst of a spiritual contest, trust me, your physical strength means nothing. In a contest like, we're talking about God's people. We're talking about a galactic spiritual warfare on earth between good and evil, between God and the devil and God's people. This is the second Exodus. The second Exodus. Don't you think this is going to get spiritual attention? Absolutely. But we cannot fight this spiritual warfare in our own strength. Verse 9, yet I heard the voice of his words. That's what we need. We need to hear the voice of his words. Now, we won't see the pre-incarnate Christ appearing, but we can see the pre-incarnate, we can see the post-incarnate Christ every single time we open the scriptures. So, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Prayer, real prayer, prepared prayer, sacrificial prayer is worship. He's on his face before God. He's worshiping. Is he fighting? No, not at that moment. He's not fighting. There are things that spiritual warfare. In Ephesians chapter number 6, God says stand. Here, the prayer, the character of the story, Daniel is worshiping. He's on his face, on his knees. What can he accomplish there? I dare say the nation of England and the United Kingdom was praying in 1939, 1940, 1941, 1942, 1944. 43:2. I bet you they were praying. There was time to fight, and there's a time to pray. When they rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem under Nehemiah, you build with one hand, you fight with the other. You had your sword, and you had your trowel to do the work. Verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Who is that person? A lot of different opinions on who that person who's talking might be. We'll find out in one quick second. And he said unto me, I read that already, right? Verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I came for thy words. Oh, there's so much here. But what we need to see is God hears our requests. Yes? God sent someone. Something, some being. We'll find out who this person is in a moment. But if you turn with me to John chapter number 14, God has removed himself from us. The incarnate Christ is no longer here. The Son of God is no longer here, but he chose to be replaced. And he said, when I go, I will replace myself. I promise. John chapter 14, verse 16. Says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. One page over, John chapter number 16. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Christ sent another to comfort us. In this passage of Scripture, it appears like God sent someone else to comfort Daniel. The question is, who in the world is this? Now, let me give you some background. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Now, again, I don't have time to give the entire context of this particular chapter. Daniel chapter 8, verse 15. And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Okay, who is this person? This is the angel Gabriel. Now, there's only one other angel mentioned on the good side. That would be angel or Michael, the archangel. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9. Daniel is praying the entire chapter in Daniel chapter 9. A tremendous, tremendous example of prayer. In verse number 20. In the middle of his prayer, he's interrupted. Daniel 9, verse 20. And whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, that's always a good place to begin, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. So he's praying for the people. He's praying for the place. The holy mountain would be Jerusalem. Okay, so he's praying for the people in the place. Yet while I was speaking in prayer, even the man who? Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. Meaning, as soon as you began to pray, I was sent. That's pretty powerful. Oh, Pastor, you just made that up. Really? I just read it. As soon as Daniel started praying, Gabriel was sent. Now, I'm not saying the angel Gabriel sent for our prayers. Please remember, Daniel is representing the entire nation of Israel. Okay, this is a global prophecy that God is fulfilling globally. Not that we are unbiblical, not that our existence doesn't matter to God, but our existence is not necessarily global. Daniel is this spiritual lightning rod of that particular moment. Where am I? Verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Then Gabriel reminds him of the 70-year captivity that Jeremiah had preached. So who's the one who came to Daniel in his need of prayer? Gabriel. There are only two angels. The third angel is Lucifer. So there are three angels mentioned in the scripture by name. Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. Chapter 10, verse 13. And I'll end with this. This is the conclusion. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Now the prince of the kingdom of Persia is not a man. The prince of the kingdom of Persia is a wicked angel. So like people have guardian angels, nations have angels. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Who's talking? Who's talking? You mean the same angel that came to Mary and Joseph and announced the birth of the Messiah? Says the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. How long? 120 days. So you've been praying for how long? 21 days. Guess what Gabriel's been doing for 21 days? Duking it out in the spiritual realm for 21 days. But lo, I've got help. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Michael, the archangel, and Gabriel together. Could you imagine the WWF? What a tag team that would be. Whoa. Michael and Gabriel? and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come. Please remember, now Gabriel is speaking to him. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Can you imagine that moment when he's face to face with Gabriel? And Gabriel's telling him about the spiritual warfare that's taking place. And Daniel was praying for 21 days, fasting for 21 days, denying himself for 21 days because he sensed by the intuitive leading of the Spirit of God that the nation of Israel needed prayer. Where were they? Hundreds of miles away. Could he see them? No. They're in Babylon. I mean, they're in Jerusalem. So he's praying and fasting. Comes to find out, there was a battle that you would have no concept of. Do you know what happened in the heavenlies? Michael and Gabriel, my two chief angels, were battling with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Verse 19. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. Sounds like Joshua chapter 1, doesn't it? And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, pause. How many times have I said, the personal pronouns in the scripture are of utmost importance. If you don't figure out who the he is in this passage of scripture, you're going to miss the whole meaning of the whole passage. Could you have thought that that was God? That that was the pre... Yeah, you could have thought that, reading verse 6 and 7. But then as you start reading the context, you say, I don't know if this fits. I don't know if God would do this to Daniel. It doesn't sound right. And then Michael shows up. Okay, now what do I do with this? Who is this person? Right, so now you have to study. Who has appeared to Daniel in the past? Gabriel, chapter 8, chapter 9. He'll also appear to him. So there's some things going on here, verse 20. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Gabriel speaking. And now I will return. Does God have to fight with the prince of the king of Persia? No. There's your clue. Context. God doesn't have to do this. God could just go, he could blow him to the other side of the universe. Right? He doesn't have to have a fight with the king of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Whoa. You mean this warfare never stops? No. After one satanic prince comes another. Comes another satanic kingdom and another and another and another. Verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things. But Michael, whose prince? Your prince. I hope that's been encouraging to you. I'm telling you, when I pored over this morning. Who is that he? Who is that person? What's going on here? And when it finally started coming together, I said, woo, look at this. This is good. This is really good. This is really good. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us some practical principles of prayer, but you've also shown us one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. We can apply it personally for sure. But when it comes to a picture of the spiritual warfare that we can't see, things that are taking place in the invisibles, in the universe that we can't touch, this is a great, great study. There's so much to see, so much to learn here, so much to be encouraged by. Maybe you're discouraged tonight. You say, Pastor, I'm not like Daniel. No, but you can still pray. And your prayers can be heard. And we certainly all need angelic coverage, which God promises. We might not necessarily be praying for a kingdom or a nation, even though we should be. And Daniel was praying for a kingdom and a nation. We could too. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible passage. Help us to apply it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Could we pass out prayer sheets?